Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Thursday. It feels a lot like a Friday, doesn't it, Dom?
It sure does. Happy Friday Eve to you, Evan, on the board once again. And of course, our fair audience, it is a pleasure to be with you all.
Lightly screening the calls at 844-967-2789. And Dom, you've been doing a little bit of work booking. How unusual.
But I know, last couple of days, man. I know.
Yesterday you kind of overbooked us. You've booked a fine happy hour, Bill Press. So I hope you stick around for the 5 o'clock. Yeah, Bill Press joining us, pundit, podcaster, friend of the Devil's Advocates. I still hope we put something together for the fall. Get out the vote with Bill Press. But Dom, let's turn towards the headlines. A couple of headlines. You know, Joe Biden kind of having a decently good week. I mean, he's had a lot worse.
Yes, he has. It's been a pretty decent, okay week so far.
And then there's Donald Trump's week. Less good.
Well, less by comparison, no, not great at all. It's really getting hot down in Florida, man.
You know, or as Donald Trump should think of it, the best, last best week of his life, perhaps.
Or, as I like to put it, worse. The best is yet to come.
Could be. Could be. You know, Trump's... Trump's got a new legal filing, Dom, seeking absolute immunity. Absolute immunity. I think he should be granted absolute immunity for all his, you know, crimes. In this case, he's seeking, what, absolute immunity from civil action for his speech on January 6th, the incitement of the crowd. Thinks he should be able to claim, what, presidential immunity for life?
Yes. He's just working that day, man.
Is that what he was doing? Just doing his job, the job of the American people?
I mean, I can go there. Specifically, raw story reporting from the Washington Examiner in the filing. President's attorneys claim, quote, President Trump is shielded by absolute presidential immunity because his statements were on matters of public concern. No amount of hyperbole about the violence of January 6, 2021 provides a basis for this court to carve out an exception to the constitutional separation of powers. So, you know, he's got that going for him.
Do you think they will grant him absolute immunity, Dom?
I don't know. You know, I'm no attorney, Crudy. You know, given what he said and the fact that it certainly seemed to incite a riot, I don't know that would, you know, it still has to be culpability. As the examiner says, Trump's legal team argues in Wednesday's filing that impeachment is the only means of punishing a president for abuse and that attempts by Dems and others to sue Trump after he emerged victorious in his impeachment trial tantamount to harassment. I mean, victorious, you know, still more. Over 50% of the senators, including some Republicans, right, voted to impeach the man. So, unfortunately, it wasn't a, you know, 51-49 deal. But, I guess he's very victorious because he couldn't get enough people to, even though it was over 50%, to kick his ass out. So, it'll be an interesting exercise.
Is that what you call it when the judge throws it out for lack of merit? Hey, man, throw that Hail Mary in the trash can where it belongs, the trash can of history. Dom, other threatened legal action, in this case by the former president, Trump sends a cease and desist demanding CNN delete Big Lie and Lying from stories about the former president. You know, they're being mean, Dom. a little bit of the coverage here. Former President Donald Trump has decided to go after CNN. Not for the first time, right, folks? In his latest litigation, according to documents sent to the network, Trump is demanding that the network eliminate any mention of the phrase, the big lie, and any implication that he lied about the 2020 election being stolen. The report comes a day after it was revealed that Trump was likely part of the grand jury investigation into the attempt to overthrow the 2020 election. I'll believe it when I see it, folks, but apparently, you know, the investigation is expanding. Eliminating the phrases on a news website, however, would not cover up Trump's actions around the election. The letter says that it was sent July 21st, 2022, however. And if Trump were to sue CNN for defamation, he'd be forced to prove that CNN knowingly lied when they claimed that Trump was lying about the 2020 election. Such a case would allow the network to request a number of documents and information in the discovery phase, I think it's called, Dom, from Trump and his office post-presidency.
Do it. Do it. I dare you, Trump. File it. Do it. Allow CNN discovery. I would love to see that.
Well, of course, this is just trying to chill what CNN. CNN's Ted Turner's got the money. They'll take their chances, Trump. Here is from the statement. I've notified CNN of my intent to file a lawsuit over their repeated defamatory statements against me. I will also be commencing actions against other media outlets who have defamed me and defrauded the public regarding the overwhelming evidence of fraud throughout the 2020 election. Now, we had a ruling on that here locally just today, right, Dom? But we'll get to that in a minute. Accordingly, I hereby demand on behalf of President Donald Trump, you know, again, speaking in third person through a statement, that CNN immediately take down the false and defamatory publications. 2, immediately issue a full and fair retraction of the statements identified herein as conspicuous a manner as they were originally published. And 3, immediately cease and desist from its continued use of big lie and lying when describing President Trump's subjective belief regarding the integrity of the 2020 election. Well, good luck with that. And good luck using that as a legal defense.
Well, and that's, later. See, that's what he's trying to laying do, right? He's laying it down. His subjective belief. If I believe it, it's not a lie, right? So you can convince yourself that it's not a lie, and then it's okay then. I mean, but that's what he does. He throws these things out, little caveats that gives you an indication of what his overall defense will be. And it's going to be pretty weak.
Kind of like Steve Bannon. That trial didn't go so well either.
The misdemeanor from hell.
Sort of a whimpering conclusion of that trial. He was convicted on both charges, of course. Dom, we got some local news, but I want to ask you. Joe Biden. Now, I claim he's having a pretty good week, but if you believe the papers, well, man, we've moved into recessionary territory. We've had two consecutive quarters of contraction. But as you and I talked about before we came on the air, Tom, this was a super heated economy a year ago at this time.
Yes, coming out of the terrible economy that Donald Trump shepherded us, drove us, drowned us into, right? So,
well, I do hold him accountable for the pandemic. The pandemic drove the economy into the ditch, but Donald Trump, you know, was culpable in many ways.
Well, but I would also say, if you're going to talk about, you know, an influx of money into circulation, you know, Donald Trump and Republicans, I mean, they signed those bills. I mean,
the first ones.
Yeah, yes.
The last bill, the American Rescue Plan, was exclusively Democrats. Every prior bill was pretty much everyone except Ron Johnson.
Right. And so, I mean, that there is a reaction from that, right? There is a consequence to that. Now, you don't hear the Republicans talking about that, but that was also part of that influx of money. And granted, I mean, it was necessary, to my opinion, because a lot of people weren't working. If you happen to remember, look at the statistics from the BLM or whatever, or BLS, over the last couple of years, you can see the dip in employment, the contraction of the economy, because, of course, a lot of people were staying home.
And the participation rates, right? They always talk about that. Well, here's how Joe Biden described the economy earlier today. I'm going to need your help. Let's play some sound of the president having a pretty good week. till this news, cut 29.
That doesn't sound like a recession to me.
You know,
that's it,
Joe. I fired up the crowd. You know, I warmed them up for you, and then that's it. Okay, let's hear a little bit more of the president. I'm sure with more enthusiasm. Cut number 30.
Chairman Powell and many of the significant banking personnel and economists say we're not in recession.
I could barely even understand the notion of your statement, Joe, but one more from the president. Jobs. Cut 31.
We've created 9 million new jobs so far, just since he became president.
Just since Joe Biden became president. Can you sound like you're bragging? Can you sound like you're excited about the news? No, this doesn't feel like a recession. We've got low unemployment. We got consumer spending. And, you know, we were in a superheated circumstance. And now, you know, we've contracted a little off the superheated part. But that's what we've got to do because, you know, the Fed's out there cranking up the interest rates. All I hear from every CG in America is about the gas prices. Well, those have also come down. Yeah. Hell, even Wingstop's talking about the fact deflationary. Decreasing prices in the chicken wing market. I mean, Fancy Brian's going to be very excited to hear this. But, you know, there is downward pressure as well. Now there is. And hell, man, I don't quite understand it, but according to CNN, we're starting to see a reduction in mortgage interest rates because people are reacting to the news. We might be in a recession, which somehow drives interest rates down. I don't quite get it.
A little bit from CNN Business before we go to break here. The negative dip shown in Thursday's first read on the second quarter GDP activity, data that will be revised two more times. So right now we fell by 0.9%, less than 1%, was driven mostly by a decline in inventory levels. Businesses in recent quarters have tried to replenish stockpiles drawn down during the pandemic, and in trying to adjust for supply chain upheaval, they found themselves overstocked at a time when consumers have pulled back on some purchases. Investments made in inventory during the second quarter were therefore lower than they were in the first quarter. So there's a lot of, you know, waves and people trying to, you know, hammer out all of us. I would just suggest that perhaps, you know, maybe these corporations should hold a little more inventory as a general rule. You know what I mean? It's just in time when things go south overseas. You know, it costs money then, right?
Dominic, you mentioned negative dips. We'll come back and talk about negative dips. The GOP gubernatorial field here in Wisconsin.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you so much for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the phones, toll-free, talk or text 844-967-2789.
420 break is meaningless here in the state of Wisconsin under current leadership and future leadership. If any of the Republican gubernatorial candidates, you know, the negative dips I mentioned prior, if any of them win, they've all made a pledge, Dom, and it ain't very friendly of them.
No, not at all. And I guess to some degree, not very surprising. Ben Baker reporting in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, all three Republican candidates for governor are pledging to veto any bill that legalizes marijuana for any use. But five of the eight Republicans running to be their running mates are for legalizing pot for medicinal use. Marijuana has emerged as a flashpoint in the state capitol, with more Republican lawmakers and candidates becoming supportive of proposals to legalize what Democrats have long called for, as state polling shows public support for the idea. What was it? I believe it was 75% of Democrats, according to the March Marquette 2022 Marquette Law School poll, 60% of independents and 51% of Republicans were down for legal weed. But as reported in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the state Senate has long been a stubborn hurdle to such efforts. Former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, Pipeline Construction Executive Tim Michaels, and State Rep Tim Ramjam have all said they oppose legalizing marijuana. The top candidates in the Republican primary for governor, Clayfish Michaels, are locked in a tight race. During a candidate forum in Green Bay in June, Ramthune cited, quote, connections in Colorado who relayed concerns to him about all new problems in the state after marijuana was legalized. Ramthun added he believes there is some benefit to CBD oils, but he goes on to say, Crudy, for me, it's going to make matters worse, and I don't want to see it in our state. Well, Ram Jam, here's the dirty little secret. It's already in the state. It's always been in the state. It will always be in the state. So whether we want it or not, it's here, and we're sending hundreds of millions of dollars to Michigan and to Illinois because we don't have it legal and we're not taxing it.
Well, sometimes, Tom, you just have to break the law and protest. Just
every
ask
day.
Any of the January 6th insurrection, right?
I got a little bit more here, Krill. I want to throw in what Clayfish had to say. Apparently, during the same forum, she stressed her position was informed by her relationship with law enforcement officers, who she said informed her marijuana use creates a pathway to more potent drug consumption and gives way to narcotics trafficking. Here's what she had to say. I listen to cops. We know that marijuana is a gateway drug because this is what law enforcement says. We need to stop it where it starts. And I would just remind, who was that nice sheriff in Dane County who didn't know squat about marijuana?
David Mahoney.
Mahoney, come on, David. What you have is Clayfish, what, leaning on the police? And what, the police are some sort of expert in it? I mean, oh, hey, it smells like weed in here. You better get on. I'm going to arrest you. That does not make one an expert because people are smoking weed and cops might be catching them. There is no gateway drug. That is I don't know what that is. I mean, 98% of crackheads have drink milk. You know, is that causation or correlation? I don't know. But come on, this is ridiculous, this whole gateway drug thing. And who
it's
else?
It's a Michaels. Gateway to probable cause. Smells weedy up in here.
Uh-huh. And
once
if it was
get
legal,
out of the vehicle.
If it was legal, yeah, go pound sand, officer. Michaels, in a separate radio interview earlier this summer, said he does not, I do not support the legalization of marijuana. I think it's all a slippery slope. I really do. Now hand me my bourbon. What a bunch of hypocrites. And again, the majority of people in Wisconsin are down for legal weed. I mean, even the majority of Republicans. And that, and this is talking about regular, good old fashioned recreational weed. It's even higher, much higher when you're talking about medicinal marijuana.
And that's just the lieutenant gubernatorial field amongst the Republicans. What, 5 out of 8? That's more than 50% of the LTs.
Right.
Also, I believe Adam Jarkow, who's probably the more prominent candidate on the Republican side for attorney general, I believe he also advocates for legalized marijuana, strangely. So the AG is going to be for it, and the governor would be against it, assuming some sort of red wave. Well, Dom, sometimes if a law isn't just, you just got to break that law. And here in the state of Wisconsin, there's new reporting at the Washington Post. Wisconsin anti-voting fraud activist commits voter fraud to make a point. Sometimes you got to be wrong for all the right reasons. My brother-in-law said that to my kid once. I'm like, stop giving the kid advice.
I am not a role model.
Our pal, Patrick Marley, writing for the Washington Post. Dateline Madison, where I'm sitting right now. A Wisconsin man this week ordered absentee ballots for himself in the names of a mayor and top state lawmaker in what he says was an attempt to expose voter abilities in the state's voting system. Harry Waite, who leads a group in southeastern Wisconsin that is focused on voting issues, said Thursday that he was willing to go to jail to prove his point. I've done that once or twice.
Have you been to jail for justice?
I have, in fact. You know, define justice.
Define jail.
The stunt angered many state elections officials, especially those who have spent the last several years fighting baseless claims of widespread voter fraud. I would be willing to take that hit for the country, Waite said of facing jail time. You can't have ballots going all over the place unsecured. Waite said he used the state's online elections portal Tuesday to request absentee ballots for the August 9th primary to be sent to his home in the names of Assembly Speaker Robin Foss and Racine Mayor Corey Mason. Waite has clashed with both of the officials repeatedly as the president of a group Hot Government, H-O-T, which takes its name from the acronym Honest, Open, and Transparent. Soon after he made the request, Waite explained his actions in an email to Voss and Mason, as well as the Racine County District Attorney, Patricia Hansen, and Racine County Sheriff Christopher Schmaling. Waite said he requested about a dozen ballots in all, other than the request for ballots for Voss and Mason. Waite said he had permission from the voters to request their ballots. He said he had not received ballots for Voss or Mason and did not expect to, because he had alerted authorities to what he had done. Told him, you know, called cops on himself, Dom. We'll come back. I've got a few more thoughts on this topic. More devils.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show on Thursday. That sure does feel like a Friday, at least for Dominic. He'll be absent tomorrow. Not for the first Friday.
Are you going to be absent tomorrow, Crudy?
No, I'm working tomorrow, man.
All right, I do my duty
to God, country, and audience.
Oh, come on. I got to move moms tomorrow, dude. I got to go see mom. It's not like I'm hanging out. It happens to be the Roger Waters concert tonight, so I might be helping mom a little slowly tomorrow, but, you know, still helping mom.
Couldn't be any worse than helping Karen that one time move across the state. Oh, my God. That was an affair.
Indeed it was.
But anyways, Dominic, I've got some fine, you know, fill-ins in your absence. Matt Rothschild coming in studio tomorrow.
Nice.
To talk about a little action today, trying to push District Attorney Ishmael Ozan from Dane County, I guess it would be, trying to move Ish to consider charging the fraudulent Trump electors.
Ooh.
So that will
they
be.
They did Matt, meet in Dane County at the Capitol, right? That'd be under his purview.
A locked building during the pandemic, I hear.
That's what I hear. Well, he's going to have to get in line behind Josh Call. Right, Josh?
Well, I'm not sure that Josh Call is doing much, but Matt Rothschild's out there pushing the district attorney and then coming on the Devil's Advocates Friday about 4:30 to air the grievance. And also, Peter Bukarski. Peter Bukarski is a U.S. Senate candidate, and we've run ads for Peter Bukarski here. We've always appreciated the fact that at least he's trying. At least he's embracing the progressive talk radio marketplace and all you fine listeners. But anyways, Peter has been excluded, even with this contracted field, right? You know, it's cumbersome to have a bunch of candidates. But now there's two less candidates, and there is one candidate for him left, and it's supposed to be televised on WISN-TV in Milwaukee. And instead of expanding to allow all the qualified candidates or whatever the case may be, now they've contracted the number of candidates that will be eligible. I believe they're down to two, maybe three. So, you know what I mean? They basically, from Peter's perspective, they're screwing Peter Bukarski.
Yeah, I mean, well, the criteria for, and I don't know, is this a WBA sanctioned thing? What is the...
It is, WBA it,
so
sanctioned.
So the criteria presumably has not changed.
Well, and he claims, Bukarski claims he met the criterion, and they're still excluding him.
Hmm.
So... Well,
then maybe he's got a beef.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow about 4:20 while Tom's absent. Bet you'll be doing something at 4:20 tomorrow.
You know
we could be taking your calls. I'm going to come back to this thought about the fraudulent Wisconsin voter. Like, I'm going to break the law just to prove how easy it could be if someone wanted to break the law. But Britt from Humboldt, welcome back, man. What do you got for us?
Hey, Britt.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Thank you for the update there. I did have to tell you that I got a little... a whiff of desperation when you mentioned that lawsuit that Trump is bringing up against CNN. Is that right?
Yeah. Cease and desist, calling me a big liar.
Well, it's a threat of a lawsuit, Britt. You know, if he actually files it, then they get discovery, and he certainly can't handle that heat.
It's deflect, distract, and anything to actually have to face up to the facts. I will just say this. It's coming. You guys know it's coming, and when the indictment is handed down to TFG, I'm coming out to Milwaukee to party with you guys out there, and we're going to celebrate like it's 1999.
We'll party like it's 1776, Britt.
Britt, it will be wild.
Here's the one concern.
I'll bring my powdered wig. Yeah, sure.
You know, the day that Donald Trump is indicted, Donald Trump will try to violently activate the white nationalists, the white Christian nationalists, as we often talk about. He's going to try to basically intimidate the prosecutors out of prosecuting him, you know, either through personal violence or through the threat of violence.
Absolutely. But you know what, guys, that's absolutely the boil, the pimple on America that needs to be busted wide open and cleaned up and healed, because that's what it's going to take. You're going to have to go to the core of this thing and expose it all and all the corruption. You know, you're never going to get the small percentage of true haters in America to ever go away. But we have to be on a path where we all reject them as a society. And the only way to do that is to totally and completely remove the cancerous, you know, whatever. I don't need to go anymore because I'll be next thing, you know. But we need to get rid of it all, and we need to go full bore. And so, like I said, I'm looking forward to coming out and bringing some humble popcorn with me when the whole thing comes down.
Yeah, baby.
Britt, here's what I would say. If you're coming to town, do not come to town next Friday, August 5th, because Donald Trump's bringing the cancer conference to town on behalf of a state gubernatorial candidate. We are requested for credentials for the rally, and then I still got to talk Dom into going with me because I need a wingman. Could get my ass kicked, Britt. Got to be careful.
Yeah. I promise you I'll stay far away from that scenario. But I wish you guys luck. Wear the suits of armor, whatever you need. You know, I'm sure you'll be well lubricated for something like that. So it should go well.
Appreciate it, Britt. What is the proper lubrication for a Trump rally?
I don't know. Probably about 4 or 5 ounces of tequila to get the job done.
Well, I'd consider that. I think we're going to have an outstanding time, Dom.
Well, we got to get
4 to 6
first.
Live show. Well, I've already put in for your credentials.
Well, I know, so but we got to get them.
Step for you.
It's one thing to put them in.
Oh man, they're going to be at the fairground. You're not keeping me out of the Waukesha County Fairground. This guy doesn't have, you know, full fledged Secret Service shutdown kind of security anymore. I mean, come on, man. You should have seen the Wander End section in Des Moines. These are not controlled events. So to try and deny media credentials in an open air space where I can walk in and join the crowd, good luck with that. I'll be there. You know, I'm not saying I'll be there in press row, but I'll be there and I'll be making a jackass of myself, and I'll do so on your behalf as well. I feel quite confident.
Fine job. It's one of your superpowers.
It is. Jackassery. Let's talk about this Harry Waite, this jackass from Wisconsin.
Yeah, this is some new news. Washington Post, Patrick Marley, newly hired on over there,
Journal Sentinel. Anyways, covering a Wisconsin story. So anyways, this Waite went and requested ballots at his house for Speaker Robin Voss and also Corey Mason, who's a Democrat, the mayor of Racine. And then, like, got 10 more friends. Right. I also, just to prove...
It's a friends and family plan.
How easy it is. So anyways, let me jump back into the reporting of Marley. Soon after this Waite guy, made the request, Waite explained his actions in an email to Robin Voss and Corey Mason, as well as Racine County DA Patricia Hansen, Republican, and Racine County Sheriff Christopher Schmeling, Republican. You remember this guy?
I do remember that.
He's the one that wanted to imprison 5 of the 6 Wisconsin elections commissioners, just throw them in a hooscow. Anyways, keep that in mind. Was promoted former President Trump's claim of voter fraud and called for the arrest of 5 state elections commissioners. I guess Marley would have said it more clearly. Waite said he requested about a dozen ballots in all. Well, that's a smart confession to make. Other than the request for ballots for Voss and Mason, Waite said he had permission for the ballot request. You know, must be buddies of his. He said he had not received ballots for Voss and Mason and did not expect to because he had alerted authorities to what he'd done. Hansen said she was investigating the matter under Wisconsin law, Dom. It's a misdemeanor to make a false statement to obtain a ballot, and a felony to make a false statement to an election clerk. A little bit more. In a Facebook post about the incident, Schmeling made no mention of investigating Waite. This is the Trump-loving sheriff, right? And instead called for an investigation of the state's online elections portal, My Vote Wisconsin. Investigate the computer program. Ann Jacobs, who's been on the show a handful of times, who sits on the state's elections commission, said the DA should charge anyone involved in an effort to try and get ballots meant for others. They intentionally went and stole somebody's ballot, said Jacobs, a Democrat on the board who is politically evenly divided. It's like walking into a Walmart, picking up a large screen TV, walking out the door with it, then going to the cops and saying, it's really easy to steal this. You still stole it. Jacobs and the commission's nonpartisan director, Megan Wolf, said the attempts to illegally obtain ballots did not expose any vulnerabilities in the state system. Intentionally, this is a quote from Megan Wolf, intentionally using someone else's identity to subvert the system does not demonstrate a flaw with my vote, but rather a flaw with that person's conduct.
Right.
A nefarious person who chooses to impersonate someone else to gain official documents of any kind, whether for elections use or any other purpose, is clearly violating state and federal law and could, or likely should, but she says could, face consequences. So what say you, Dominic?
Is there anything more to this? Let's see.
Waite's statement. We got a statement from Waite. I want my vote shut down. I want all absentee ballots shut down until they can secure the ballots.
A little detail here about how it works. When voters make online requests for ballots, their clerks receive an email informing them of the requests. The clerk makes the final call on whether to issue ballots. See, I did not know how the process actually worked here. Waite said he recently explained to a reporter with the conservative Epoch Times how to request an absentee ballot in Waite's name and have it mailed to Michigan. A short time later, he received a call from his clerk to alert him to the request, he said. Waite said the system worked in that instance, but he was worried clerks in other part of the state would not be as diligent. I want my vote shut down. I want all absentee ballots shut down until they can secure the ballots. Waite made his ballot request 2 weeks before the primary when Voss faces a challenge from Adam Steen. The primary will also narrow the field for governor and U.S. Senate. Waite, who backs Steen? Remember, because didn't he pull a ballot out in Voss's name? I mean, maybe Voss might have a problem with that. Maybe if Voss said, hey, I want to prosecute that guy, he won't be able to vote for Steen. Waite, who backs Steen, has long fought with Voss over the 2020 presidential election. We know that Trump lost and Biden won. Waite said he does not believe Voss has done enough to look into the election, even though Voss has hired Gableman. We know that story. Spokeswoman for Voss did not say whether the speaker wanted anyone to be charged with a crime. Mason did not immediately return a phone call. Schmeling, the sheriff, last year called for Jacobs, as Curdy mentioned, and four other elections commissioners to be charged with crimes for the policies they set for voting in nursing homes in 2020 because nursing homes weren't allowing visitors during the coronavirus pandemic. The Elections Commission told clerks to disregard a law that required them to send poll workers to those facilities and instead send residents absentee ballots. Hansen and two other DAs declined to charge the commissioners. Two other prosecutors have not said whether they plan to bring charges. Schmeling, the sheriff, did not return a call on Thursday, but Waite said the sheriff told him he did not plan to arrest him during a call they had on Wednesday. He said, thank you so much for breaking this open, Waite said of his talk with Schmeling. So I said, does that mean you're not going to arrest me? He said, hell no. Hell, breaking open what? It didn't work. And you probably exposed yourself to, you know, significant liability a dozen times, even if you had their permission. Hey, Crudy, all my money's in the bank. You have my permission to go steal it. And, you know, just take it. It's yours. It's fine with me. Go knock yourself out. I mean, this is just asinine, and I hope they go after him for
it. Do you see what Schmeling posted, the Trump-loving sheriff? Do you see what his social media post was?
No.
The same morning, Schmeling posted a message on Facebook that said, I am disheartened by the apparent vulnerabilities in My Vote Wisconsin that are ripe for fraud, and everyone, no matter their political leanings, should join in requesting a thorough statewide investigation into this significant election integrity issue.
But none of it worked, right? He did no, he get any work. Ballots? He did not get any of the 12 ballots he requested.
Actually delivered.
Right.
So it's not a voter ability in the my vote. It's a nefarious actor committing fraud, which apparently is very aligned with what the sheriff thought he should be doing to expose this to the world.
Hell no.
Because it was all rigged, right? It's all rigged. Wait, me saying that could get me sued by the former president.
The big lie.
Be careful. Got to be very, very careful.
I'll take discovery for 200, please.
They're a cheat and a swindler.
So run, you turd. Run! Tell all the other turds the law's coming.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We can squeeze you in before our pal Bill Press joins us at the top of the hour.
Dominic, book club. There's another tell-all coming out of the Trump White House. This one from the Trump Whisperer himself. Jared. It could only be Jared. So let me tell you a little bit about it.
Do we have to talk about Jared?
Just a little bit. Just two notable little tidbits from this new tell-all, if you will. First headline, this one from The Guardian. Murdoch told Kushner on election night that Arizona result was not even close.
Oof.
Donald Trump's son-in-law and advisor's new book recounts turmoil caused by Fox News' decision to call the state for Biden in 2020. Just a little bit of this. When Fox News called Arizona for Joe Biden on election night in 2020, infuriating Donald Trump and fueling Republicans' election subversion attempts, which continue to this day, Rupert Murdoch told Jared Kushner, and here's the quote, "The numbers are ironclad. It's not even close."
Would you please repeat what Murdoch said again, please?
"The numbers are ironclad. It's not even close." Details of the Fox News owner's conversation with Trump's son-in-law and chief advisor about the call, which most observers say confirmed Trump's defeat, are contained in Kushner's memoir, Breaking History. Oh, they broke it, which is due out next month. They also come as Murdoch-owned papers and even Fox News itself seemed to turn against Trump in light of the January 6 hearings on the U.S. Capitol attack and his attempt to overturn the election defeat. The first extract from the book in which Kushner described being secretly treated for thyroid cancer, I knew he didn't look right, something's wrong with that guy, was reported by Maggie Haberman at the New York Times. On Wednesday, another Times reporter, Kenneth Vogel, our buddy, tweeted pictures of pages from Kushner's book, each emblazoned with the words, "confidential." And Kushner's description of the shock of the Fox News Arizona call mirrors those in numerous reports and books on Trump's 2020 defeat, his refusal to accept it, and the attack on U.S. democracy that followed. "The shocking projection brought our momentum to a screeching halt," Kushner writes. "It instantly changed the mood among our campaign's leaders who were scrambling to understand the network's methodology." Methodology, is that what they were scrambling to figure out, Tom?
Yes. Yes. I wonder if you could do me a favor, though.
You know, there's one other excerpt from the Trump book. This one about the wife, Ivanka. Jared Kushner claims in a new book that John Kelly shoved Ivanka.
Uh-oh.
They almost came to blows, apparently. Well, maybe not, but let me read just a little more, you know, from the Breaking History upcoming Kushner tell-all. Excerpts of Jared Kushner's new book are being revealed this month. We talked about that. Here's another one. "Ms. Trump," that's Ivanka, "and her husband served as top senior advisors in the White House throughout the administration, where Kelly was the chief of staff for a short time." Here's the quote from Kushner's book. "One day, he just marched out of this contentious meeting in the Oval Office. Ivanka was walking down the main hallway in the West Wing when she passed him, unaware of the heated state of mind. She said, 'Hello, chief.' Kelly shoved her out of the way and stormed by. She wasn't hurt, and it didn't make a big deal about the altercation. But in his rage, Kelly had shown his true character.
Oh, is that what this
According
is
to Ivanka's
about?
Husband, right?
Yes, Ivanka and Jared. What shows your true character? How would you gauge that? By your rage or lack of action when your father was, and probably you, helping orchestrate a coup upon this country? But tell me more about the guy who shoved your wife.
I would say judge him by the frenzy cubes, like the Saudis, who have put billions of dollars into an investment fund that Jared Kushner is not qualified to lead or run, right? So anyways, Kushner, just a little clarity, a little bow on this topic, Dom. Kushner then explains that Kelly went to Ivanka after and apologized, which was accepted. Kushner claims the apology was meek, however. Meek? Did Donald Kushner? Trump ever apologize for anything ever?
Well, I mean, in Kushner's defense, he certainly knows what meek looks like.
And cock, I suspect, but let me read just a little bit more here. I don't recall anything like you described, Kelly told the Post. It is inconceivable that I would ever shove a woman. Inconceivable. Never happened. Now, understand, he's a U.S. military officer. Would never intentionally do something like that. Also, don't remember ever apologizing to her for something I didn't do. I'd remember that. So Kelly's denying all of it. A little bit more. On October 2018, report in the New York Times cited former campaign manager and alleged domestic beater Corey Lewandowski, who revealed earlier that year that he and Kelly got into a physical altercation that involved Secret Service agents, and the agents had to break it up. Oh. Corey Lewandowski would have gotten his ass kicked.
Is this like Real World MTV or something? What, Big Brother? What is going on in this White House with these clowns? My
toxic
goodness.
Masculinity. Speaking of, here's CJ. Welcome back, CJ. How you doing, man?
Hey, CJ.
Hey, guys. You know, I guess listening to the president and everybody go out to defend him, I'm wondering how many other words you guys can, you know, go from progressive or liberal to progressive. Now recession is not a recession. Build Back Broke is now the Inflation Reduction Act. You know, are you guys running out of words to redefine? I think Ruth Bader Ginsburg even said, don't destroy democracy by, you know, redefining, ending the filibuster.
Are you in the court? Are you really chastising us with the words of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a woman you disagreed with throughout the entirety of her very illustrious career, CJ?
No, I did not. I loved Ruth Bader. I didn't always agree with her, but I tell you, she was one of Scalia's best friends. And, you know, just if you need a wingman next Friday, I'd be happy to help you.
I mean, a wingman that's not going to get me killed. You know what I'm saying, CJ? You'd be like the other team's cheerleaders at a Badger game when they introduce Bucky to the goalpost. I don't need that kind of wingman, okay, CJ?
No, I would do nothing but defend you, Crudy. I would help you into the deepest dungeon and help you survive. So, honestly, you guys, I enjoy you, but man, can you guys rewrite history anymore day to day? And some of your new guys or format, I really don't get the moves that you're making, tell you the truth, Crudy. You have some great lineups, and you're disintegrating them day by day.
Well, CJ, we still take your calls.
I do. In that regard, I do kind of question your judgment then, Crudy.
You really do, don't you? Yeah. You really do. Come back, hour two, Bill Press. And us. I would question your judgment if you didn't come back.
Can I be a high-fiving white guy, too?